This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
In Great Britain, a few years ago, they did a study, and they did a poll, and they took some moms, and they asked all these moms, have you ever received a Mother's Day gift that you didn't want? 40% of them said yes. And what they also said was they were too polite to tell anybody about it. And, but some of the gifts would have said something. Deodorant, a fire extinguisher. Well, nothing says love like a fire extinguisher for mom. I think some cleaning supplies, some hair dye. And so that's kind of discouraging for mom. And then they also talked about some of the worst cards that ever came. One of them said, I'm awesome. You're welcome to the luckiest mom in the world. Whoa, that's narcissism to the nth degree. But the worst one, this was the worst one. I guess it said this Mother's Day card is late. I guess someone wasn't raised right. Oh, no, you didn't. You know, if I'm a mom and I get something like that, I'm going to be a little bit discouraged. And I want to talk this morning. We've been doing a series called The Wall, getting over, around, and through what's been stopping you. I'd like to talk about something that whether you're a mom or not, all of us have faced at some point in time, and that is discouragement. The wall of discouragement. How do you get around and over or through discouragement? Discouragement means to be disheartened, to lose courage, to lose passion. And regardless of who you are, where you've been, what station of life you're in, all of us have faced discouragement at one point in time. The good news is discouragement does not have to be that insurmountable wall in our life. Now, I can think of about four different key sources of discouragement. They all begin with P: problems, people, progress, lack of, and perceptions. If you start thinking about it, almost all of them come in that category. If you have problems, they can be discouraging. If you have problems that stack up on you, that can be discouraging. There was a little lady, a little sweet little church lady, lived all by herself. She got tired of just being things so quiet in her house, and so she wanted some chatter, so she bought a parrot. And this parrot could talk, but the problem was that this parrot could cuss. And man, this parrot, I mean, not talking about an occasional slip up. This parrot's dropping F-bombs. You think he was raised by a rapper. And so this parrot was just going off, and it was just, she tried to do everything she could. She played classical music. That didn't work. She put Christian television on. That made him madder. And she just hit her boiling point when she had some ladies from the church over for lunch, and he launches this tirade, and everyone's looking at her. And she was so embarrassed, so she got them out the door. She stalked back to the room, opened his cage. She reached in and grabbed him by his neck and pulled him in. She was looking for a place to put him. She looked at the freezer. She opened the freezer door and threw him in the freezer and shut the door. Oh, he went off. Man, he's cussing and ranting and raving. And all of a sudden, it got deathly quiet. And she's a sweet little lady. She said, oh, my gosh, I've killed him. She opens the door, and he's standing there. She puts her finger out. He steps on her finger. He cocks his head and looks at her, and he said, if my language has been offensive, I'd like to profusely apologize and to assure you that will never happen again. And the parrot said, may I ask you a question? And she said, sure. He pointed his head back over toward the freezer and said, what did the chicken do? Don't you wish we could solve all of our problems that way? But the challenge is that problems can often stack up and they can discourage us. How about people? Sometimes people, they don't meet our expectations or they're toxic and hard to be around. And people can be discouraging to be around. Progress, lack of progress. I don't know about you, I hate sitting in traffic. I drive 30 miles out of my way just to keep moving. And the idea is, sometimes people just, the idea of sitting in traffic is frustrating, but the idea of sitting in life is even more frustrating. And oftentimes people are discouraged because of their lack of progress, maybe in their relationships or in their career or in their walk with God. And then the last one is perceptions, your perception. How do you perceive things? Most people have a worldview that's a mix of positive and negative, but if it's heavily weighted on the negative, discouragement is going to be a constant challenge in your life. Can I tell you someone who is never a source of discouragement for you? And that's the Lord. Amen. God is not a discourager. And I hear some people say, well, God's breaking me down to build me up. Listen, He is not the Marines. That is not His objective. In fact, the Bible said, if you'll just humble your heart, He'll lift you up. And James, the 4th chapter, look at this. Humble yourself at the sight of God and He will lift you up. What you're saying is, humble yourself is not talk about how bad you are. It's simply saying, God, I believe you're smarter and stronger and wiser than I am. So I'm going to trade my ways, my thoughts, my doing. I'm going to trade those in for your ways. And in doing that, you'll lift me up. He does not put you down. Max Licato said he was running a half Ironman triathlon. He'd done the swimming. He'd done the 56-mile bike hike. And he said now he's running about 13 miles and he was starting to feel it. He said he ran up on this guy and said, hey, how are you doing? He said he wished he'd never asked this guy. This guy started to complain. He said, this stinks. He said, it's the stupidest thing I've ever done. I can't believe we're out here running this race. This is ridiculous. I don't know why we're putting our bodies through this. Max Licato said he finally had to leave or he would stop. He just started agreeing with this guy. So he ran. He caught up to a 66-year-old grandmother. And she looked at me. She said, isn't this great? She said, you're going to make it. She said, I know it's hot, but at least it's not raining. Remember to hydrate. She said, take one step at a time. And Max Licato said he ran beside her till his heart was lifted, but his legs were aching. And she ran off and left him, but he kept going. But can I tell you, our Heavenly Father's like that? You run up next to Him. He's not going to tell you about how bad you are and how you're not going to make it. He's going to lift you and talk about your potential and your ability and what you can do through Christ. He's a lifter. He's not a discourager. Now, I want to give you a story this morning. We've got to talk about a mom. So I'm going to give you a story this morning from the Bible about a mom. We don't even know her name. But she had to overcome some series of discouraging things to see God help. His help for her daughter. We'll read the story in Matthew 5th chapter. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to Him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and urged Him, saying, would you send her away? She cries out after us. But He answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she came and worshiped Him, saying, Lord, help me. But He answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And your daughter was healed from that hour. What a great story of a mom. Now, this mom had some discouraging situations in her life. First thing, your daughter's severely demon-possessed. Now, it doesn't tell us what's going on, but obviously this girl is not what she used to be. And it's causing a problem in the family. If you're a parent, you understand this phrase, kids will leave your home, they never leave your heart. And here she was, and she had a little girl at home. In fact, Mark tells the story that when she comes home, when the child is healed, that the little girl is lying on the bed, which indicates this is probably a rarity, that she never lied down, that maybe she's bouncing around and all over the place. And so this was a difficulty for her, and this hurt her. And sometimes just seeing a loved one in a difficult situation can be extremely discouraging. But then that's not all. I mean, she goes to get help, and it appears like everyone that could help her is rejecting her. She asked Jesus for help, and He doesn't even talk to her. Her silence could have been a huge discouragement in her life, His silence. It could have just really bothered her, but she made an adjustment. Now she's yelling at the disciples. Hey! Yeah, have mercy on me. Bothered them so much, they finally came to Jesus and went, Jesus, would you get rid of her? She is yelling after us. And Jesus, again, he didn't talk. So finally, she stopped yelling at the disciples, came into where He was. She made another adjustment. And she comes down. You can see the sincerity in her heart. She goes, Lord, would you help me? She worshiped Him. And Jesus looked at her and said, well, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Time out. That could have been a real problem for most people right there. You just called me a dog? You call me a dog. Now, listen, I don't care what culture you're in. I realize in that culture, women were treated so poorly that this probably wasn't a huge anomaly to them. But still to be called a dog, if that happened today, could you imagine that? You came down here and said, would you pray for my child? I said, not right to pray for the dogs. Man, that would blow up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. That'd be hard. But she could have been highly offended, and yet she wasn't. She said, yeah, Lord. She said, but even dogs get the crumbs. And He looked at her and said something He rarely said. He said, woman, great is your faith. be it unto you just as you desire. She had all these things that were a problem. People were rejecting her. It appeared like Jesus was rejecting her. You have to understand, she was a Canaanite woman. She wasn't Jewish. The Canaanites made Las Vegas look like kindergarten. I mean, they were a wild bunch. They were just wild and crazy people. And so she wasn't Jewish. She didn't have any right to a covenant. And yet she kept humbling her heart and making adjustments. And she kept coming. And even though she faced wall after wall of discouragement, she continued to just climb right over them and keep going. So how in the world does she do that? Here's one of the biggest reasons I think. She was a mama on a mission. She wanted to see her daughter set free. And boy, when you want to see someone else benefited, it's a motivator. So it motivated her past the problem of her daughter. It motivated her past the rejection of the disciples. I mean, she could have lashed out at the disciples. She could have said, I don't care about you Jewish people. We Canaanites, we're just as good as anybody as you are. She could have lashed at the disciples. She could have lashed out at Jesus, but she kept humbling her heart and kept going on. Because I really believe that deep down in her heart, she believed that Jesus was really good and that he could help her. And she walked away and her daughter was completely healed. But she had to overcome discouragement to get there. How about you? Do you have any discouragement in your life? Are you dealing with some things where you're just like, this discouragement seems like an insurmountable wall. How do I get over that? Let me give you just some ideas that'll help this morning. Here's the first one. You have to understand that you need a reason to resist discouragement. When discouragement comes, you need a reason. So in other words, the bigger the purpose, the bigger the persistence on your part. Bigger purpose, bigger persistence. Now here's where we get this. Jesus, who's our example. Jesus went through some of the most difficult things, and this is what the Bible says about it in Hebrews. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew would be his afterward. Now he's seated at the place of highest honor besides God's throne in heaven. What's that say? It's saying that Jesus, he went through the cross, the shame, the mocking, the pain, the torture, the looking like an utter failure. He went through that. That was a horrible thing. But he went through that because he had a bigger purpose. And the bigger purpose was not his comfort. The bigger purpose was us. He believed that if he would go through this, his death, his burial, his resurrection would one day give each of us, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, and the entire world an opportunity to come out of darkness into his marvelous light, to come into a relationship with God because of his sacrifice. And because of that, he was able to endure. You say, well, I'm not Jesus. I understand. But there's still good reasons for you to resist discouragement. How about your family? So your family's depending on you. There are people who love you who are depending on you. Maybe people you work for that are depending on you. And there's a good reason to come out of that. 20-some years ago, Joy was diagnosed with chronic acute pancreatitis. It was a devastating blow to our family. Michael had just been born, our youngest. We had just buried her father due to cancer. And Joy was diagnosed with this, and she was hurting. And she was lying on the sofa one day when Christina, our little 7-year-old girl, I only have one girl, two boys, one girl. Christina, the middle child, big old round doe eyes. She came in, she sat right next to Joy on the couch. And Joy could tell she was hurting. And finally she looked over at Joy. She said, are you going to go to heaven too? And Joy looked at her and said, no, darling, I believe in healing. And that seemed to work for Christina. And Christina got up and went on her way. But Joy realized after she had said that, she said, I better fight. I've just given my word to my daughter. I'd better fight. And that began the process of healing for Joy. She thought, I will. And by the grace of God, she was able to come through that. And he did heal her body. And she is okay. And she didn't go to heaven. And I'm rejoicing about that every day. That was good. But years later, I find there was another reason that Joy kept fighting. She looked at me, she said, I knew I couldn't go to heaven. She said, Lord knows what kind of woman you drag up into this house. Everybody's got to have a reason. I guess that was good. Your family needs you. People need you. Sometimes people say, Alan, no one needs me. No one cares that I'm here. Listen, if you're part of the body of Christ, there are no unused members in the body of Christ. God has a designation and a plan for every one of you. And to have you strong means the body stronger. To have you in this church operating without being so discouraged strengthens us as a church. The kingdom needs you. And if you will tie in your life to a kingdom principle, God, I am here for a purpose, and there's a reason. I will not let discouragement overcome me. I will by your grace overcome discouragement, because there are still things to do, and I still have a part. You need a reason to resist discouragement, and that's a good one. You also have to recognize that discouragement distorts reality. When you're discouraged, everything is worse. When you're discouraged, the problems appear bigger than they actually are. They did I read recently of Wilbur and Orville Wright, the Wright brothers. In 1901, they were trying to work on a glider in some wing warping, and they failed again. And so discouraged and frustrated, Wilbur looked at Orville. He said, "It's going to be 50 years before man ever flies." Actually, 2 years later, they flew. And 8 years later, they sold a working airplane to the United States military. He thought 50. Why? Because he was discouraged. But he kept going, and that brought that problem into perspective. When you're discouraged, problems get distorted. Like those mirrors. You've seen those mirrors you used to go to fairs, and some make you look big, and some make you look skinny. Some of you think, I got one like that at home. It just keeps distorting things for me. Here's another thing. When you're discouraged, people look worse. When you're discouraged, man, you think people are against you. Have you ever noticed that when you're running late, people purposely get in your way when you're in the car? When I'm late, everyone gets in my lane. I own the left lane. That's mine. And people get in the left lane, and you start talking to them. Don't you know I'm late? No, they don't know that you're late. This is not a personal thing. But what happens is when we get discouraged, you can walk up on a group of people and they're laughing. You think they're laughing at you. You walk in and someone looks at you funny, and you're thinking, no one cares. And when you're discouraged, people look worse. If you're not careful, you'll lash out at the very people that can help you. But here's the most challenging thing. When you get discouraged, God appears to be uncaring, and prayer seems to be an exercise in futility. I've heard people say, well, it just seems like my prayers are getting no higher than the ceiling. But that's the end game of discouragement. That's exactly what the enemy would want you to do. Stop praying. Stop seeking God. Stop doing anything. Just get discouraged and quit. That's what he wants. Just a few nights ago, I was walking through the YMCA. I'd finished a workout, and I was walking through, and I saw some kids playing basketball. So I stuck my head in, and I'm watching them play. They could be about 12, 13, 14. I watched them, and after a while, I figured out none of them were going to the NBA. Or college, or high school. I mean, this was not a talented group, but they were playing and they were having a time. And I noticed a young man, he had glasses on, a little gangly, and he came across the lane, he tripped, he fell, and he just sat there on the ground. And the ball changed hands, and everyone rushed down to the other end of the court, and this guy just sat there. And I watched him as he got up, and the coach called him over, and I could see him, he was kind of slumped over. And I could see the coach imploring him. And I'm just standing there just kind of watching. And man, all of a sudden, just something rose up in my heart. And I felt like I wanted to grab this kid and go, hey, I wanted to stop the coach and go, coach, can I talk to this guy for just a second? I want to go, God loves you, son. He's got a plan for your life. God doesn't want you to develop a quit so early in life. He's got something good for you. I wanted to grab that kid and go, no, you don't need to be discouraged this early in life. Don't let this happen. It's just a compassion. I don't know this kid, but this compassion rose up in me for this kid. And if I have compassion for a kid I don't know, how much more does God have compassion for you? And is he coming up beside you going, oh, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't stop praying. Don't stop seeking me. Don't stop living for me. He's got something good for you, but he doesn't want you to quit. And see, the last thing, if you're going to overcome discouragement, you've got to have faith in the mercy of God. The mercy of God. So, I know God's good. Yeah, but you need to know he's merciful. I know God's powerful, but yeah, he's merciful. He's never abandoned you, and he never will. And so when you come to him, you got to say, well, Alan, I don't deserve his mercy. If you deserved it, it would not be mercy. So his mercy outweighs your weakness. And so you can come to him and say, Father, I need help. Listen, listen, if you'll just keep making adjustments, if you'll not be discouraged by the lack of answered prayer, if you'll not be discouraged by the lack of results, if you'll just keep coming to God saying, God, help me, I'm gonna make adjustments. There is always help available. There's always a path to help. In Romans, the fourth chapter, in actually Hebrews 4 chapter, said, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Listen, when you're the most discouraged, it's not the time to run away from God, it's the time to run to him. Zig Ziglar was a great motivational speaker. I used to listen to him years ago. He's in heaven now. One of the most positive people you ever meet. And Zig was speaking. He said the most difficult time in his life was the 24 hours after his daughter had died. He said he'd gone to the funeral home with her husband to make the funeral arrangements. He said he just couldn't sit there. The salesman just kept talking and talking and talking. He said he must have mentioned it 30 times that he wasn't a salesman. Finally, Zig he couldn't stand it. He had to get up and get out of the room. And that's not like him. He just loves people, but he couldn't handle it. He said the night he said he knew he was hallucinating, half asleep, half awake. He kept thinking that his daughter was wondering why her daddy wasn't coming to get her. The next morning, as he woke up, he said he just went for a walk. He said all he did was walk and cry and pray, and walk and cry and pray. He said, but at the end of the walk, he said God spoke to his heart. And this is what he said. He said, she's fine. She's with me. And you'll be fine also. I'm all you need. Keep walking. Keep talking. Keep praying. Keep crying. When I think of that, I think, well, isn't that the voice of a merciful God? Some of you in here are facing discouragement from situations that really run the gamut. But can I tell you that you're going to be fine? You're going to make it. He's all you need. Keep walking. Keep talking. Keep praying. You've got a good God. And discouragement does not have to win. Would you bow your head for a moment? I'm going to ask, please, no one leave or move around just for a few moments. Just out of respect for the Lord, respect for the people around you. If you came this today and said, you know what, Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord. I know that. He knows that. But I want to. Or you say, Alan, I had a relationship with God and I got so far away from him, I don't even know that I can see my way home. Listen, we're going to pray a prayer today. And whether you've never connected with God or you need to reconnect, this prayer is for you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's looking around. We're not going to embarrass anybody. We're not going to have you stand up or come to the front. But I am going to ask you to do this. As you're sitting here in this auditorium, you're listening to me today and you say, I need a relationship with God or I need to come back to him. And you would like our prayers. You say, Alan, would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up across this auditorium right now? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. My hands have gone up all over. Anybody else? Say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Yeah, I see you in the back. Thank you for your courage. Yeah, way in the back. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Great. All right, you can put your hands down. Maybe you didn't lift your hand and you wanted to. Hey, you don't have to be discouraged. Because we're going to pray a prayer and you can jump right into this. This prayer is a heart prayer. God sees hands and he sees hearts. So pray this prayer out loud. We're going to pray it with you, but pray it so you can hear yourself pray it. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to do one more thing. Father, I pray this morning, this afternoon, for those who are here today who have been so discouraged. They just have a hard day, had a hard time getting here today. But Father, I thank you. Do you see them? You know them? You love them? And you've got a way out for every one of us that's ever faced discouragement. So we thank you for that. I ask you to move on their hearts. I ask you, Father, to help. I thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.